Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Issues on the computer here, but I have Kyle Austin with me. Kyle is owner of Farm 406 from Havre, Montana. He was actually one of my opponents in the primary for the United States Congress, but he's also my pharmacist. Kyle, welcome, and tell us a little bit about your view of big pharma, where we are with pharmacy today.
Out there. As an owner of Farm 406, I've been involved with pharmacy for about 16 years. And big pharma was a phrase that started back in around 1994 because the big pharmacy manufacturers were, you want to call it price gouging, but the prices were very expensive and there was nothing to regulate it. So everyone blamed big pharma. Since then, we've had a change in healthcare where PBMs or pharmacy benefit managers have basically taken over, and they're very corrupt. They are a very strong, very wealthy, corrupt organization. And when I say pharmacy benefit managers, there's a few out there. There's OptumRx, there's Express Scripts, CVS Caremark has their pharmacy benefit manager, and United Healthcare, Humana. Those are pharmacy benefit managers. And what they've done is they've controlled the market. They've monopolized the market. They became very wealthy, and they're doing a lot of illegal anti-competitive practices out there. And for a lot of Montanans out there, you've probably grown up and you've seen your independent pharmacy struggle and go out of business. That's a result of the pharmacy benefit managers. And this last year, you've seen it on a national level where you've heard of CVS closing, you know, a quarter of their stores. Walgreens is closing a quarter of their stores. And you're seeing a lot of these pharmacies close because of the practices of these pharmacy benefit managers. And they do a lot of corrupt practices. The one thing I see at Farm 406 is where they will reimburse below the cost of the product. And everyone knows out there that if a business owner gets in a product at price of X, but they're forced to give that product and services away below the cost of goods sold, you can't keep your doors open. And so it's an ongoing battle. The other thing these PBMs do is they will tell me at Farm 406 that I have to charge the patient more on a particular item, and then they take that money back and put it in their pocket. I'm like, well, what the heck are you doing? You're already charging the consumer a premium, and the consumer is expecting you to pay for their services at the pharmacy, but instead you're paying zero. The PBM is paying zero, but they're telling me to charge the patient more so they can collect what I would call a kickback or a clawback. And they do different things like that. They also go in and they get rebates or incentives from the drug manufacturers to push their product.
Okay.
So they would push the pharmacy did you have something?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but we're running out of time. We have a hard break. If you have information, go to our app, KPUL.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the region for today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 40s. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30. And continued mild for Tuesday with more sunshine on the way, with highs in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Clear to partly cloudy Tuesday night with lows into the upper 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
securing America.
Today, we're spotlighting another pick for President-elect Trump's administration. Businessman John Fallon has been chosen to serve as the next Secretary of the Navy. He's the co-founder of MSD Capital. In a statement, Trump writes, "His record of success speaks for itself, a true champion of American enterprise and ingenuity." Trump goes on to say, "John will be a tremendous force for our naval service members and a steadfast leader in advancing my American first vision." Trump also notes he will put the business of the U.S. Navy above all else. The Secretary of the Navy is responsible for conducting all affairs of the Department of the Navy and its functions. If confirmed, some critics of the pick note he has no military experience. Military Times reports that of the 26 men confirmed as Navy Secretary in the last 70 years, all but six were veterans. Matt Murphy, Fox News.
Hey, if you guys are traveling for the holidays, you are going to want to download the Montana Talks app. We've got several great conversations that we had over the past few days. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, talking about a real-life Breaking Bad case right here in Montana, meth dealing on the Crow Reservation and more. Plus, Attorney General Austin Knutson sounded off after Canada wanted to spy on gun shows in Montana. Full audio, Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, welcome back. Filling in for Aaron Flint today. Tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Hopefully things go a little bit better on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm joined now by Evan Wilson, a long dear friend of mine. I'll let Evan introduce himself. I knew him best first through his dad, who is a professor at MSU Billings. I did polling and political science. I knew his mother-in-law, who was a state legislator. Unfortunately, Evan went to University of Montana and I went to Montana State, but I had a lot of University of Montana students working with me over the years. And Evan, why don't you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you know about numbers.
Absolutely. Danny King, first, I know you've had some trouble. Good morning, Montana. Happy Monday. Hope your holidays were good. Danny, can you folks hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you.
Wonderful. Well, go Bobcats, go Grizz. It was a great weekend to be a Montanan. I, unfortunately, am down here with my family in Little Rock, Arkansas. My wonderful wife of 12 years, also a University of Montana graduate, has family down here. So we did Thanksgiving down here. I'm about to hop on a plane back to God's country. But, yeah, this was a great election. However you want to slice it, folks came out and voted. In 2016, Donald Trump won Montana by about 16 points. This is old news now, but he carried Montana by 120,000 votes in 2024. He won by 20 points over Kamala Harris. And I think, however you slice it, looking at the numbers, which is what I do for Peak Insights, we're based in Missoula, Montana. I know folks have heard my voice before, but, I'm the guy behind the scenes trying to figure out the numbers. And the numbers are in Montana, just about everybody came out to vote. I mean, turnout was at 76%. You had over 600,000 Montanans turn out and vote, which, to put that in perspective, I've been working in Montana politics for almost 15 years now. When I first started, as Denny mentioned, I was his campaign manager. And the trick is, one, communication, but two, understanding what your electorate looks like. 2010, for those folks who remember, was a great election for Republicans. Congressman Rehberg carried the state with 60% of the vote. But in 2024, the increasingly the disconnect that exists between the National Democrats and folks like John Tester in Montana, it couldn't be at more of a fever pitch. The reality is, folks in Montana aren't buying what they're selling when it comes to Democrats. And you look at the turnout both with the legislature, in John Tester's race with Tim Sheehy winning, credit goes to where it belongs, the voters of Montana. I mean, I think Senator Steve Daines did a phenomenal job up and down the ballot across America bringing folks home. We won the U.S. Senate 53-47. It doesn't sound like much, but in this political climate, having an extra buffer of seats is important. And, one of the things that comes down to numbers for folks who are paying real close attention, you know, we're lucky in Montana. We gained a congressional seat. We've got incoming Congressman-elect Troy Downing in the east. We've got Congressman Ryan Zinke in the west. But even with Republicans turn out to vote in at the clip they did, the reality is in D.C., and nobody can tell you more about D.C. than Benny Lieberg, we only have 220 House Republicans, and you need 218 for majority. And, you know, depending on the state, with President Trump and some of his cabinet selections, there's going to be contested races now in these special elections. And so, you know, every vote matters. Denny, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, before you were born, it was all Democrat in Montana. Do you fear or do you see numbers where we can blow it? I served in the legislature, 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats in Montana. Next session, we had the majority, but the Senate was split 25-25. And the next session, Republicans lost to the Democrats. They were in the majority. So I'd like to know from your perspective, is there a pendulum? Will we see where we're winning everything right this minute, but it may end up going back the other way? Maybe not in Montana, but nationally. What do you feel about the various trends in America today?
Well, sure. I mean, let's start at the national level. You know, like everybody else, I'm waking up this morning learning that Hunter Biden has a pardon. And, you know, I mean, I've got two young kids. Denny, I know you have children. A father's love for his kids is endless. And I have no doubt that President Biden loves his son very dearly. But the types of activities, you know, it makes you question where this country's headed. That when you have a sitting president, both who, you know, at Biden's level with all the Burisma problems in Ukraine, incoming Trump administration, all the persecution criminally and civilly he's faced. But look, I think the average American voter, after decades of seeing Donald Trump in the news, after years of seeing Donald Trump persecuted by just about every long arm of the law the federal government could find, I think folks are ready to turn a page, right? I you know, look, it's a far different thing than it was in 2016. We spent, I was there. At the time, I was Congressman Ryan Zinke's campaign manager, and for those folks who remember, you know, basically a month after the election, Donald picked Ryan to be Secretary of the Interior. And that kicked off, you know, a year's long worth of Senate confirmations and just confusion in the sense of a lot of folks in 2016 didn't know what was going to happen with the Trump administration. And despite $1.4 billion spent by Kamala and her cronies trying to convince you that Donald Trump's a bad man, he won Montana by 20 points. He won the popular vote with 50%. First time in 20 years that's been done. He won 312 electoral votes. So, again, I'll bring it back to Hunter Biden nationally and this pardon in the sense of every bad thing that they have told you about what Donald Trump and Team Trump and Make America Great Again looks like, it's kind of hypocritical when you realize in the waning hours of this Biden administration, everybody's going to get a pardon, including the turkeys, right? So nationally, I think the pendulum is going to be fine for where it is for a couple of years. But again, keep in mind, even through all the hard work that folks have done at the NRC,
Evan,
and with Steve Gaines.
You hear the music in the background, we're going to carry you over because very much interested in it. Thank you, Evan, and we'll take a short break and we'll come back
Montana
to you.
Montana Economic Minute.
You need money very badly and have little collateral to secure a bank loan. I lend you money anyway and charge you a 20% interest rate. Many of us are perfectly comfortable making that kind of transaction illegal. Well, there's a long history of doing so. In fact, there was a time centuries ago when any kind of money lending for interest was illegal. The urge to bring the hammer of law down on commercial transactions we don't like is a strong one.
Montana, what's your name?
We might outlaw trucks on city streets,
Evan.
Chemicals transported on trains,
cars,
and cigarettes. Obviously, some of those are outlawed, or at least restricted in some places.
Perfect. Already sorry about that, sir. Accidentally hit the wrong button.
We'll
be back with you after the break.
Be they vacation rentals or scalping sports tickets. Let me pose a question. Does the power of democracy extend to removing one's livelihood, especially if the product or service is bought and sold in full knowledge of what they are and what they'll cost? I'm Dr. Bunch.
I got it.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. December is Global Health Engagement Month, an important priority for the military health system, which says the month highlights several things they focus on: expanding medical readiness, improving the health and safety of warfighters, building trust and deepening professional medical relationships around the world, also advancing U.S. national security objectives. The Department of Defense says global health engagement efforts also address other DoD and U.S. government priorities, like enhancing interoperability by helping partner nations build health capacity, combating global health threats like emerging infectious disease and antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and supporting humanitarian assistance and disaster relief initiatives. The military health system says the global reach of the U.S. military means service members are affected by public health issues around the world, and proactive engagement is needed to help keep forces medically ready and protected from global health threats. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
After President-elect Donald Trump threatened to impose 25% import duties on Mexican goods, President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico says they could retaliate with their own tariffs. President-elect Trump says the tariff on Mexican imports will go into effect if the flow of drugs and migrants across the border doesn't stop. While the Mexican president says she's willing to engage in talks on the issues Trump mentioned, the Mexican president said that the drugs are a U.S. problem.
Hi, I'm agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe with a few reminders. The December 2nd deadline for 2025 pasture, rangeland, and forage insurance is almost here. Don't miss out. Join me and Sylvius Insurance at the Montana Stock Growers Convention in Billings on December 5th, where I'll share a 2025 weather outlook during the opening general session. While you're there, visit the Sylvius booth to explore risk management tools for your operation. Connect with the Sylvius team and enroll in PRF by December 2nd at raininst.com.
USDA has announced two new programs to aid farmers with $2 billion in marketing assistance for specialty crops to help fruit, vegetable, and nut growers expand markets and maintain supply. Part of that includes $140 million for commodity storage assistance that will support producers in accessing storage facilities with high demand expected across the nation. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, again, this is Denny Reberg, former U.S. Congressman, state of Montana, filling in for Aaron Flint, who joined his wife. He went over to the Middle East several times, didn't take his wife, and so this is payback time. He's spending a little time at one of her conventions, and you're stuck with me today. I want to welcome back Evan Wilson. Evan, former campaign manager of mine, but he is numbers extraordinary. Evan, I do kind of want to ask you a question. Has polling changed? Newspapers are kind of flat on their back. Weekly newspapers are still important. Radio is important. The legacy media are kind of on their back as well, except for Fox News. Where do you think the polling is heading in your profession?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, like everything, technology and the emergence of smartphones. I mean, my 11-year-old daughter now, she has a smartphone where I can track her when she's at school. I can track her when she's at volleyball. Most importantly, I can call her and hope that she picks up her phone calls for her dad. But, you know, with the emergence of technology, things like, you know, the new hot button term is AI, I do think that we will see changes in the polling industry. To give folks in Montana an idea, I mean, since 2020, my company based in Missoula, Peak Insights, we talked to over 200,000 of you. That's basically one out of every five Montanans has done a survey of some sort over the last 4 years with our firm. And I apologize for people who endured the last 5 months of endless attack ads on their televisions. Their phone calls are blown up. I mean, look, this was a $250 million Senate race that we had in Montana. And Montana is not shy to these big ticket, you know, nationally impactful statewide races, and 2024 was one of them. But one of the things with polling that will change is the method and manner in which we conduct surveys. You know, there's a couple of folks, contemporaries of mine, and Eric Iverson, my boss in Missoula, also worked for Danny Lieberg. You know, look, the closer you get to these big races, the more incentive there is to have a headline as a pollster or a political firm that, you know, that sells people. I'll give you a perfect example in Iowa. Ann Seltzer, for generations, she has been the leading go-to pollster in the state of Iowa. Obviously, first in the nation state, you know, what happens in Iowa tends to be a bellwether for what's going to happen later in the rest of the country. Ann Seltzer came out with a poll the weekend before the election in Iowa showing Kamala Harris was going to win. And, you know, for those of us who work kind of in the back with the numbers, I can tell you that the moment that poll got released, my phone blew up. And in the end, the problem, as you know, Donald Trump won, carried Iowa, as he should have, by a double digit. So the poll was wrong. I think it is fundamentally important. I'm a fifth-generation Montanan. My father did this for a living. When it comes to being a pollster, you know, you have an obligation to tell the truth and to be honest with your work. Just like everything with computers and the board that Denny is looking at in front of him today, there's a lot of buttons you can push to change outcomes. And unfortunately, in Iowa, one of the things we saw was that, you know, the way that they weighted that survey just wasn't accurate of the statewide electorate. And that's what's most important in Montana. We know in Montana, we've done enough work in the state, we know what a typical statewide electorate looks like. So when you come out with a poll, you better make sure that, you know, women outnumber men. You better make sure that there's 13% of your voters come out of the great county of Yellowstone in Billings, Montana. You better make sure that on a partisan level, you've got about half Republicans, about 10 to 12% independents, and the rest of them are, you know, partisan Democrats. And, you know, Denny, the only other thing I'll say about, you know, the pendulum swinging, the first question you asked, when I was born, and you were first elected in 1984, Ted Schwinden won Montana in the governorship with 70% of the vote. In 40 years, Montana demographically has changed so much that Greg Gianforte is reelected last month with basically 60% of the vote. So, yes, there's a huge influx and change of changing demographics, changing political beliefs. But I think for the next couple of years, I think what people want is they want less campaigning and they want more action on issues they care about. And in Montana, you know, all of us understand that issue number one is property taxes.
You know, one of the interesting things in my 2012 race against John Tester, 9 national polls had me winning. 1 did not. The firm that you work for did not. Why were the polls so far off? We each spent the same amount of time, money, John Tester and myself. You know, the campaign was fairly level, and yet one pollster was right and 9 were wrong. What happened with polling in 2012?
Well, you know, I mean, this 2012, if you go back, that was a time when we didn't have 3/4 of the state voting early or via absentee mail ballot. So, you know, when you get somebody on the phone and you ask them how they're going to vote, look, there are people who don't pick up their phone calls and do our surveys. And there are people who, by and large, you know, they'll give you a wrong answer. They'll be a Montana Republican, but they're going to be the one person who votes for Barack Obama, right? People lie, but the beauty of statistics, and without sounding like a nerd, when you call enough people in a survey sample, you have a good idea of what the true number is. And in 2012, one of the things we saw was just a general apathy about Mitt Romney at the top of the ticket. And yet, in the U.S. Senate race in Montana.
Thank you, Evan. We're out of time. You've interesting as always. Thank you. We're a congressman. You know, interestingly enough, I represented the entire state of Montana, and I'm so sorry I don't get to do that again because I got everywhere from the Yak to Al Zeta to Westby down to the Dell and everywhere in between. I made a promise when I first became lieutenant governor in 1991 under Governor Stan Stevens. I'd be in all 56 counties every year I represented the state of Montana. It was a lot easier as lieutenant governor because I based out of Helena. I moved my family to Helena. And I'd travel all 56 counties. A little harder as a United States congressman because not only do you have to travel back and forth from Washington to Montana, but when you get to Montana, then you have to strike out. So I usually flew on a Monday back to D.C. I flew on a Friday back to Montana, and then I traveled all weekends. And so it was hard on Jan and the kids. So I've been married 46 years, and Jan always laughingly says that the reason we're still married is I was gone a lot. But she made it work. She helped raise our children the way that you would want our children to be raised. I've got 3 wonderful kids and now 5 grandchildren. We got lucky. Our children all decided to have babies at the same time, even though they're 15 years apart from top to bottom. They had 3 little boys. We had 3 2-year-olds recently born. They're 15 weeks apart. So now we have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, 2 2-year-olds, and a brand new little girl. We finally got a little girl. But it's great to be back in Montana. I just miss seeing my friends and talking to the people up in Kalispell or down in Hamilton. places that I used to travel a lot to, and the people of Montana were very kind in allowing me the opportunity to represent them that I hope they deserve to be represented by a congressman that tried to stay in touch as much as I possibly could. Yeah, I do worry about the pendulum because, as I had mentioned when I was talking to Evan, that I served in every kind of combination you could think of. My first legislative district was tied 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. That means that because the governor was Democrat, the speaker was Democrat, but then we chaired the chairmanships. Republicans picked one committee chair, the Democrats picked next. I was put on appropriations as a freshman, which is unheard of. It's hard to get on appropriations. Next session, the Republicans had the majority, and I was chairman of an appropriations subcommittee. The third session I served, I was unopposed to the election, but I found myself in the minority, and they kicked me off appropriations. I ended up going on taxation, and you learn bipartisanship. The Democrats kind of stuck me in the back of the room as far as a member. I get up early. I went in. I moved the name tags around, and I sat myself next to Jerry Driscoll, a Democrat AFL-CIO from Billings, Montana, and Jerry and I worked well together over the years, even though he was AFL-CIO and I was a Republican. So there's a lot of bipartisanship that goes on in the legislature. I don't want you to think it's all partisan. I have Democrat friends in the United States Congress I still stay in touch with. So it's good now. May not always be good.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, welcome back. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg filling in for Aaron Flint this week. He chose to go to a convention with his wife. And after having gone to the Middle East on several deployments alone, it's payback time. He's spending a little time with Jessica, and good for him. I'm joined this morning by Mayor Bill Cole. I invited the mayor to come in and talk to us a little bit about cities, League of Cities in towns, and what's going on in Billings, but more importantly, what's going on in Bozeman and Kalispell and Butte and Helena and the points in between. Purposes, I got to tell you that Bill was my attorney too, but he gave that up to become mayor, and he's term limited, so he's going to have to actually go out and start making an honest living again, maybe as a lawyer. But Bill, welcome. Good to have you. And let's just talk a little bit about what you see as problems in cities around the state of Montana, what's going right, and what are you going to be working on for the rest of your term?
Thanks, Denny. It's great to be with you, and good to see you in your new career here. You're looking really good and sounding really good. It's great to be with you and your listeners all around Montana. Well, as you know, our local government really is the foundation stone of government, in my opinion, around our state. Government works best when it's closest to the people, and there's not much that's closer to the people than local government. It's something that everybody gets a chance to complain about and also help out with, and it's a way for the average Montanan to really feel part of their community. So our localities, you know, we've got several hundred towns and cities around Montana. Each one's a little bit different. Each one's a little bit the same, for sure. We have a lot of the same problems. Going into the next legislature, we're coming, we've got here in Billings six different priorities, our legislative priorities. That's a pretty good summary of some of the issues that are facing many of our communities around the state of Montana. Here in Billings, our top priority is public safety. As a big city, I know that we sometimes are perceived to have a crime problem. There's some truth to that. 2021, we saw a significant uptick in both violent crime and property crime. The good news here is that we've seen about a 10% decline each year after 2021 to 22, 23, and now into 24. And so we're looking at a cumulative decline in both violent crime and property crime of more than 30%.
Can you talk a little bit about this perception that we're hearing that the gangs have moved into our cities, whether they're coming from the southern border, the northern border, whatever? Are you seeing it as mayor?
You know, and I'm no expert. I'm not in the trenches with our police department. But we do hear there is truth to that. Wherever there's money to be made, you can be sure that criminals will try to find it. And especially organized crimes, and gangs are organized crime. And especially when it comes to drugs, what they say is the farther north you can go from the Mexican border, the more the costs go up of selling drugs. That means there's a higher profit margin, especially on our native reservation. So it's a very real problem here in Billings with interstate traffic. This can be a corridor. So yes, it's true, but we're not seeing, I wouldn't call it a major problem. We're seeing some younger kids who may want to create their own homegrown gangs. And that sounds like that, from what I hear, the greater problem. And we want to prevent that for sure. Our kids need more productive things to do.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about housing, you know, especially in the Kalispell, Whitefish, Bozeman, Billings to a certain extent. What's going on with housing and how do we get it under control?
Yeah, increasing the amount of housing to let the market forces bring cost down is really, really important because housing prices have gone up a lot. In the last 5 years, 2018 to 23, Montana saw across the state a 90% increase, if you can imagine, in average home sale prices. So that now statewide, the average home price is just over $500,000. The problem, however, is that our household incomes haven't kept up. And so we did see household incomes go up about 30%. But when you're comparing against a 90% cost increase, that's about a 60% affordability gap. And just the other day, it was announced that Montana had the least affordable housing in the United States when you compared that increase in cost versus the relatively smaller increase in household income. Now, here in Billings, I don't know if this is good news or bad news. We have not seen that amount of appreciation. We've seen about a 50% uptick in housing prices. So compared to that 30% increase in income, there's still about a 20% gap. We have to build more than 1,000 units every year just to try to keep up with what we've got. And I think this is good news. Our home's average sale price is right around $400,000. So that's about $100,000 less. Makes it easier to attract employees, but it also means we haven't seen the kind of wealth appreciation in residential housing. So there's a lot that's going to be happening in the legislature. We want to reduce regulations, but we also just want to increase incentivize developers to build at every level of the housing market.
Well, you may not see the housing prices in some of your smaller communities. Your larger communities are really having a problem between the city and the county, and people are moving into the county. What are the League of Cities and Towns and the larger towns going to try and do to lower the price and maybe increase the density in the larger cities so that you can still live in the downtown Bozeman or downtown Kalispell rather than build out on the farm property in western Billings and out in the Flathead Valley and such?
Yeah, and you mentioned a really important word, density. You know, there's no free lunch. You can't build a big, large house on an acre of land and have it be cheap. It just can't happen. But you can reduce the price by increasing the density, reducing the size of homes, especially for our young, single families and for older people. Everybody doesn't need to live in a large single family home. And we're learning that. We're a little slow in getting to the game. Other states have figured that out. So, but our legislature in the last session passed a number of density increasing pieces of legislation that require cities to allow accessory dwelling units, you know, the mother-in-law apartments, for example, eliminating minimum lot sizes. Billings was a little ahead of already doing that because we want to encourage that. So you're going to see more of that around the state.
Okay. You've got a special interest. At one time, my wife and I considered building a golf course on top of the rims of Billings, and we talked to professionals, and they said, no, you have a lot of good cheap golf in Billings. So I have no idea what's like in Missoula and other places, but they said, rethink this, that the people of today want trails. They want to be able to get out and walk. And we put some trails in on top of the rims, and I'm amazed at how much they're used. Talk a little bit about the trail system, and is it working around the state as well? Again, Winifred does not need a trail system. You just get out on the road. But there's we like our wild and scenic areas up in the wilderness areas. We like our trails there. We like our trails in the cities. What have you been working on over the years?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Montanans want to be outside. But you can't always go to the mountains. But you'd like to be able to walk out your door and feel like you're still in Montana. And I used to be on the Yeltsin County Planning Board a quarter century ago. And back then, it was a real it's like pulling teeth to get developers to consider putting in trails around their subdivisions. Oh, it's going to increase cost. Nobody wants them, et cetera, et cetera. But as you just said, trails are now one of the most important amenities that developers can have to increase the value and the attractiveness of their product. People want to be able to get out. They're relatively inexpensive to build, high benefit, relatively low cost. So here in Billings, we're working on our 26-mile marathon loop around the city. We've got a lot of internal trails. They've been incredibly popular. It's also important just for people's physical health. Coming off Thanksgiving and the meal that I ate at Thanksgiving, it's really important to talk about getting out and going for a good walk.
You're not looking very chunky. You're in pretty good shape for your age. We got about a minute left. Real quickly, tell me, you're elected, but you don't have as much influence as a city manager. We have to revisit that issue every once in a while. Are you still sold on the mayor-city manager, or do you believe in the strong mayor system, or should it be left up to the individual communities is what they want?
Yeah, definitely left up to the individual communities. Every community is going to be a little bit different. But the old-fashioned strong mayor form of government you see on television where the mayor calls all the shots is sort of an animal of the past. Modern government really does emphasize having a professional city manager, and that's worked out pretty well in Billings and around our state.
Again, Mayor Bill Cole, Billings, Montana. Thanks for joining us, talking a little bit about cities around the state of Montana.
This is the energy of electrification. Available Type-S high-performance variant, nearly 500 horsepower and 278-mile EPA range rating. Choose from our complimentary charging packages so you can charge how you want. The all-electric Acura ZDX. This is the energy of innovation. Acura, precision crafted performance. Visit your local Acura dealer to lease the all-electric ZDX for $389 a month.
Fox News commentary.
MSNBC may be in trouble and the richest man in the world may be able to throw in a lifeline. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
Good guess. I would say the Packers.
How'd you do? Exactly. Things get tougher, so hang on.
Make sure you take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking the quiz.
Well, there's trouble in paradise over at MSNBC. Turns out the viewing audience for leftist media elitists hating half or more of the country for 18-plus hours a day is smaller than parent company Comcast was betting on. Well, Comcast is potentially looking to spin off some of its cable networks, such as MSNBC, into some new entity called SpinCo. But there's another interesting option being thrown around on social media, and it's Elon Musk, baby. I'd love to see their faces if Elon bought the network. After all, he bought Twitter for $44 billion, and there's no way MSNBC's price tag could come even close to that. Elon could save MSNBC from itself, and by save it, I mean dismantle it entirely and turn it into the world's whiniest parking lot. Who knows if Elon is seriously considering it or just trolling the internet, but let's be honest, many would agree that he could stream cat videos all day and would be more entertaining and less shrill than an hour of Rachel Maddow. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the region for today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 40s. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30. And continued mild for Tuesday with more sunshine on the way, with highs in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Clear to partly cloudy Tuesday night with lows into the upper 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, if you guys are traveling for the holidays, you are going to want to download the Montana Talks app. We've got several great conversations that we had over the past few days. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, talking about a real-life Breaking Bad case right here in Montana, meth dealing on the Crow Reservation and more. Plus, Attorney General Austin Knutson sounded off after Canada wanted to spy on gun shows in Montana. Full audio, Montana Talks app.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's RP and the Ad Council.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Well, good morning, Denny Reberg. Filling in for Aaron Flint. Aaron's taking a little trip with his wife, which she deserves because he's gone to the Middle East several times without her, and he joined her to a convention that she has. Unfortunately, I was supposed to be joined just now by a fellow from the FBI who had 33 years of experience, and he wanted to talk about the problems that existed within the FBI and his ideas for change. Ironically, we have an announcement from the Trump administration, a new FBI nominee, Cash is his name, Cash Patel. He's the one that kind of outed the Russian hoax, and he clearly understands what's going on within the FBI. We look forward to that. One of the things that I did as a congressman, and Steve Daines, of course, took my place as congressman after I left in 2013, but I was the co-chairman of the Northern Border Caucus. And one thing you don't realize is as you stiffen up the southern border, make it more difficult to get across that southern border, the people overseas aren't stupid. I'll give Asian prostitutes as an example. The South Koreans were sending prostitutes into northern Montana from the Canadian border. They'd come by ship to Vancouver, British Columbia, and they make their way into Montana. And so I co-chaired the Northern Border Caucus, which had responsibility of trying to control the border between Alaska and Canada, and then from Seattle area all the way to Maine, that whole northern border. We didn't especially see the problem in eastern Montana, as you could imagine, because it was kind of flat, and the farmers keep track of who's walking or driving across their pastures or their farmland. So we did have problems there. You could see the tracks coming across, but where we really saw the problem was the treed areas over in the western part of the state. So we spent a lot of time building up the northern border with cameras and sensors and dogs and housing. The northern border patrolmen became very important to us because they were our eyes and ears to try and control the movement of drugs and the movement of trafficking of people coming across that northern border. So don't think that just because we're going to close off the southern border, we've solved the problem, because we have a large expanse of the northern border. They come across the various lakes, Michigan and the central United States. They come in through the treated areas, clear over in Maine area. And so the problem is not necessarily going to be solved very quickly. It's still going to be a problem, and you're going to read about it. The one thing that I worry about with the administration, and it happened when I first ran for Congress in 2000, my consultant made me put together a book called The Promises Book. It was the things that I said during the campaign that I was going to accomplish as the new United States Congressman. And by putting that Promises Book together, I was continually reminded to look at what I'd said, and was I accomplishing that? I look at what the Trump administration and Trump as a candidate has said, and he said a lot. He's made a lot of promises, and I hope his consultants are going to do the same for him, put together a promises book, because one of the things that can go south very quickly is that if a lot of promises are made to be elected and you don't accomplish them, then the public starts not trusting your judgment and maybe not supporting the policies you're putting forward. I think the president in place today did himself and his party a lot of damage by pardoning his son. You can understand the emotions of doing that, but promising that he was not going to pardon his son, and then going ahead and doing it sets it kind of, you know, a sour taste in the mouth of Americans. And so this president's going to have to be very careful. He's going to have to come in, hopefully to the best of his ability, turn the economy around as soon as possible. If he puts the tariffs in place, hope the tariffs don't cause inflation. This president did not do us a favor.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.